You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilbert.
I'm Adam Bishop.
I'm Chris Ellis.
I'm the Hey Kids Comics Desperado.
I'm Batman.
Who's a villain in Captain Canuck?
What does he do?
Taking our maple syrup, eh?
I'm gonna chuck my hockey puck in my beer bottle at you. Take off, you hoser.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is gonna be worth a few bucks.
And nobody wanted it.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
When you're trying to come up with an offensive movie that you want to reclaim, it's time to segue into the next porn comic segment, Adam.
How can you not have seen Airplane? What are you guys, young?
I talked to him directly, so I got a mass order. So I have like a good 5-inch stack inside my comic box.
Right,
that's below average.
Halt! Smash!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show. I am one of your less than esteemed hosts, Martin Bruda, and with me today are
Chris Ellis
and Dan Collins.
As always, I open with, how are you fellas?
Doing pretty good, I guess.
doing fine.
Excellent. In the continued COVID situation, red zone, things are a little opened up, but still not quite all the way. What can you do, eh?
So not a whole lot, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I did manage to get out to some of the local fleas, sort of, well, antique malls, right? So nostalgic journey. Didn't find much there. No, that's not true. I found some Wanda, Vision and Scarlet Witch comics. Not the whole miniseries, but a handful of them. And out to the barn a couple times with Sam.
Okay.
Paid too much for comics there. But, you know, it's such a drought that I got all excited about finding a few vintage comics that I needed. And I think I ended up buying some Marvel Premier Iron Fist issues I was missing. So I'm just missing number one now. Not number one, but the first appearance, 15? Which is 15 or 14?
15, I think.
15, yeah. Yep. Oh, well, I did manage to make a little road trip down to Belleville as well. Down to Cool World Collectibles or Cool World? What's Jason call his store out there in the mall?
They're not sponsoring us, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
No, just kidding.
He comes up and he sells at the Lakefield Flea Market every Sunday.
Does
but,
he?
Yeah. Toys. He usually brings toys, Legos and action figures and stuff. But I went to look for comics alone because I was in the neighborhood and popped in there. They had a 15, but it was a little bit more than I wanted to pay for given its condition. It had a little bit of spine roll and stuff like this. And I'm just, you know what? I'll hold out for a slightly nicer copy. I think I can find one better at the same price.
Well, it's not as popular, right? The show didn't kind of pan out quite the way I think people were hoping. So I think that that you'll find the prices will drop accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty confident that it's gonna be a lot less expensive in the next little bit than it has been in the recent past.
Yeah.
Will it though? Because you'll just be suffering from the Marvel bump where everything that Marvel's put out is suddenly worth a lot of money more than it used to be.
Well, it's going to cost me more than it would have in 2005 for sure. You're not wrong there. You're not wrong there. It's going to cost me way more. But opening up a can of pop. But
opening up a can of whoop ass.
A can of whoop. Oh, I wasn't the first one to swear.
Ass is barely a swear word.
I'm all excited. So big news in the comic world today, the drop today. Marvel is no longer using Diamond as their principal distributor. They are going to be distributing through Penguin, which I think they already did a little bit for graphic novels, if I'm not mistaken.
Books and stuff. Yeah, I feel like that was something that we had heard before.
Yeah, to the bookstores and stuff. Like, I know DC does,
yeah,
but I'm not sure if they're using Penguin or Random House. I can't remember. You know, that's the book market. side of things that we don't really touch on too much. And, you know, I'm going to rant a little bit, a tiny bit, just a little bit. Look, look, Marvel has made some absolutely fantastic comics over the last 50 years, 70 years, whatever it is. Some gems, some amazing books. But there's a lot of other companies that have released some great books too. So when the Marvel faithful get on their little righteous horse there a little bit and get all excited and Marvel can do no wrong and DC sucks and everybody else sucks and Marvel's the greatest, it grates on my nerves a little bit because, like I said, you know, Marvel's not the only company out there publishing great stuff. There's other companies. So I kind of saw some people that in the past were like, DC Comics is ruining everything by dropping the diamond. DC ruined everything. And DC's screwing over retailers and stuff. So now Marvel's basically doing the same thing. We're dropping diamond. Now, the nomenclature is very important here. Marvel is dropping diamond. Marvel is not selling books to diamond. Marvel is selling books to Penguin. And then you can buy from Penguin. Now, what Diamond has done is got into an agreement with Penguin and said, well, can we still buy from Penguin and still distribute to the retailers that already have accounts with us? Basically becoming a middleman, basically becoming a not a distribution wholesaler, but almost like a news agent selling the books on. And of course, they're going to put up some kind of a markup to pay for their stuff. So you could go to Penguin and buy it direct for whatever, a dollar, whatever it is. Or you buy it from Diamond, who bought it from Penguin from a dollar and has to add a little bit to it. Now, granted, there could be, you know, discounts and bulk sales, and maybe Diamond's got a better deal with Penguin and they can get a little bit more money for it. But I see this in computers all the time. All the time. Walmart buys a LaserJet printer directly from HP and gets it and puts it on the shelf, and it's selling for less than I can purchase it from my distributors. Mm. It happens all the time. Now, is that going to happen with comics? Who knows? But the downplaying of this, the significance of this, was just outrageous on the interwebs. It was like, oh, don't worry, nothing's changing. Nothing's changing. Everything's – no, everything's changing. Everything. There was a letter from Diamond to retailers, and hidden in the text somewhere, it was like, you know, I wish I had pulled up because I don't want to misquote it, because then somebody will say I'm misquoting. But it was basically to the effect of, hey, your rates are going to change. Your discounts that you get from Diamond are going to change. We don't know what they are yet, and we will definitely communicate with them to you in plenty of time for you to make any adjustments. But basically it said, yeah, your price is going to change. You're going to pay more for your books from Diamond than you were in the past, because we now have to buy them from Penguin. But the zombies were like, oh, it's nothing. Don't worry. It's the everything's the same. Don't worry. Everything's fine. DC's screwing everybody. Marvel's great. You know, like, I don't understand that. I just don't get it. Did DC do a switch to Lunar and to UCS smoothly? No, there was hiccups. Do retailers now have to pay a little bit more in shipping? Yes. Is it more of a pain in the bum? Yes. You know, but it's happening. So now Marvel's doing the same thing ish. And everybody's like, nah, it's fine. Marvel's great. Marvel's awesome. Marvel's fantastic. It's all good. I don't know.
I guess my biggest question with this is, where does that leave Diamond eventually? So the two biggest publishers have decided that Diamond sucks and they've switched who they distribute through. So with DC, they're completely not using Diamond at all. So they have their other markets, but Marvel, I guess, is still going to allow Penguin or whatever. Penguin's still going to resell. But I think they can buy direct from Penguin, right? Like the comic shops can get an account with Penguin. Comic shops can
buy direct from Penguin and get an account with Penguin. Now, that's going to play out in terms of who's got a better discount, who's got a better shipping policy, how well the stuff ships, what's the customer service like. There could It's very possible that it will make more financial sense for a comic shop to continue buying from Diamond than going direct with Penguin. I'm not arguing that.
Diamond's terrible.
Totally possible.
They pack the comics like they're, you know, newspapers. They chuck them across the room to throw them in the boxes. Like it's very rare to get a comic that's not dinged up, at least, you know, on the corners, or, you know, Diamond needs to get kicked in the balls.
I'm constantly reading people are saying that they're sick and tired of Diamond and the damaged books. And like the other thing that's happening, and it happens at least twice a year that I can think of, but there is a place in California called Ontario, and the short form for California is CA. And there's an Ontario, Canada.
Yes.
And more often than not, and this has happened before. Like I remember this happening with Dixon's, you know, and I remember this happening at Jeff's, and it's happened at Grey Guardian, but the boxes meant for Ontario, Canada are sitting in California. Mm-hmm. You know, they somehow got shipped to Ontario, California instead of Ontario, Canada. And it happens often, you know, more often than it should. So I don't know. I'm not a retailer. I don't know. Like, dude, is there a lot of damage in books? Is there not? Would there be more with Penguin? Would there not? So, okay, your floppy comics, whatever. It's going to play out. We'll figure it out. You're either going to be buying from Diamond or you're not, or you're going to be buying from Penguin. But the big thing here is Penguin is a book distributor, not a comic book distributor per se, not a pamphlet distributor. They're a book distributor. Marvel is realizing what everybody else is realizing, that the future of comics is in the bookstores, graphic novels, omnibuses, trade paperbacks, original graphic novels in Scholastic size that they're selling to the kids. That's where the future is. And that's what they're doing, is they're moving to a distributor that can get them into those retail locations better. Like, yeah. I went to Shoppers Drug Mart to pick up a prescription for my meds. And there is a bunch of DC graphic novels, a bunch of Dogman, a bunch of, you know, whatever else the other, I think it was Babysitter's Club or whatever, or, you know, graphic novels in the Scholastic size from a bunch of different publishers and stuff. No Marvel. There's not a single thing of Marvel anywhere in that Shopper's Drug Mart. But there was DC and there was Scholastic and there was, I can't remember what the other company is. Might have been Joe Books or something like this. But there's another publisher other than Scholastic that does that stuff. So that's what Marvel's doing. Like, let's move to a distributor that has a far more reach in the retail space than just the, unfortunately, diminishing number of comic book specialty shops.
But now, back when I first started to kind of get into comics, like in the early 90s, you could buy floppies at the grocery store. You could buy floppies, you know. Well, I did. We used to buy them at Loblaws. I went to Kenner, and we could walk to the mall, and you went into the Loblaws, and there on the spinner rack was whatever you wanted. It was just sitting there. So you'd go and you'd grab, you know, spin it, pick what you liked, go pay for it, and away you go. So I guess maybe we're kind of going full circle, because they decided that wasn't lucrative, so they pulled the books out of there. But maybe they're going back to that.
Yeah, there's lots of reason why the newsstand, you know, ended. There was a lot of like, those books were returnable. So like right now, Marvel sells a book to Diamond, DC sells a book to Lunar. DC gets their money and they never have to worry about it. Marvel gets their money, don't have to worry about it. In the old model, you had returns and stuff like this. And anything that didn't sell from the newsstand, you ended up giving a discount back and all this sort of stuff. So there's reasons why that newsstand model disappeared. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, we're just going back to, you go to Chapters. Just go to Chapters. They have a dedicated 2 or 3 shelf section full of young reader graphic novels that are not being made by Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, DC's recognized that and done a few books in there. That Raven book, I mean, that thing was on the New York Times bestseller list for a few weeks and went into 8 printings, I think, if I recall correctly. You know, that I'm sure that novel has sold more than Green Lantern has sold, not Green Lantern, Green Arrow has sold in comics since the New 52.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that one graphic novel, I have no facts on this. This is just hyperbole, but I just honestly think that, you know, more people have they've made more money from that Raven graphic novel than they did from Green Arrow since the New 52.
My question with, or curiosity with this is, what does that do to the collector market? Right? Like, what does that do to us guys who are like, gotta have the first print, gotta have like near mint? Because when it hits there, everybody's just leafing through. Nobody really cares about bang corners, especially, you know, 12-year-old kids. I guess maybe I was a bit meticulous when I was 12 years old with my comic books, but like, you know, they don't care. They're just kind of like banging through the shelves. And so the odds of the quote unquote collector market being of any value is going to kind of,
I think you just got to look at it,
shrivel up. I don't know what that secondary market.
Yeah. I think
it's my floppies now.
Yeah. I think it's just, all you got to do is look at something like the trading card market, like baseball cards or something like that, or hockey cards. Yeah. I think it's going to be a very mirror of that, where the old stuff is always in demand. There's no doubt. Yeah. Amazing Spider-Man number one, Amazing Fantasy number 15, X-Men number one. Right? Those are going to be valuable books. Superman number one. You know, they're going to be valuable books. People are going to pay a premium for that. Collectors are going to seek them out. But you go to Walmart and you can buy a case of hockey cards, a box, like a distributor box of baseball cards and stuff like this. And those cards are worth nothing. There's nothing in there that's of any value. That's the, you know, just the playability of the whole thing. So that's the kind of graphic novel market. You're buying it to read it. You're buying it to enjoy the story and the art. Right, it's a consumable at that point in time. But then they have all these special series, you know, $20 for one card, and it's a blind box and you have no idea what the card is, you know, $100 and you get two or three cards in the package, and you know, they're super limited edition. Like, I see it on YouTube every once in a while, somebody's opening up this ultra rare basketball card or something like this, you know, and they find something super cool. So it's possible that they're still going to make collectible comic books for guys that are interested in collecting, with girls as well. Or new stuff is going to be consumable, and we're just going to get super fascinated with recollecting all the old Bronze Age, Silver Age, and Golden Age stuff. Mm. You know, I'm no psychic. I could be full of absolute poop and, you know, we might get a whole new renaissance of 20-page comic books. Just like in the 50s, things looked pretty bad, and superhero comic books were almost dead. DC was only publishing Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman, and everything else was cowboys and all this other stuff. Who knows? Maybe there'll be another resurgence, and comic books will come back. Or it's going to be like baseball cards and records, you know, the good stuff. So things like, you know, Rolling Stones' first album, worth huge bucks. Hino? Nobody wants a Hino record. Nobody wants a Nana Mouskouri record.
I think we know somebody who does.
No, even Sam doesn't want those. Nobody wants, you know, nobody wants a Sovereign 7 comic book. Nobody's, you know, craving super hard Star Hunters, even though I have number one in CGC around here somewhere. You know, so I think it's just going to be like movies, you know, discs. Nobody's buying CDs, DVDs, except the hard to find re-releases with extra commentary, like the Arrow films and stuff like this, or the Criterion Collection. Like, if it's special and collectible, people are buying it. But typically people are not buying regular DVDs anymore, not much anymore. So yeah. I think that's what's going to happen with comics. The collector market will always be there for the good stuff, the old stuff.
You know? How will the speculators live?
Yeah, I think speculation's gone. Or the speculators will go funky on these special editions, like this baseball card thing on YouTube. I think it was a basketball card I was watching. The guy was like super excited. I don't know the details. So again, you know, I'm full of poop. But he had like this white box and it was big and fancy. He said he paid $200 for it or $100 for it, whatever it was. And he opened it up and it had a single card in it. And he was all super excited because it was, I don't know, some rookie card or something like this, or some card with a piece of jersey on it or something like that. And he was, and then an autograph, and he was just like, oh, You know, so maybe the speculators will buy $200 comic book blind bags hoping for a $500 collectible.
How do we start that? So we make the money off those cards. Yeah.
Well, I think it's already happening. And in the meantime, guys like us, we're going to do dumb things.
Like buy buying what?
Omnibuses. Look at the size of this thing. This is the Justice League International Omnibus Volume 2. It's massive. I could kill small children with this book. Huge. That's what we're going to do.
Massive. It really is huge.
Like, we're going to, like, this stuff sells, and I don't understand why. Like, it's so massive. And I say that. I say that, and I whine about it. But here's my Justice League International Omnibus number 2. Here's my Justice League Detroit era omnibus, equally as thick. And then right here, the dust jacket got bent, so I'm straightening the dust jacket. But here's my Green Arrow Longbow Hunters omnibus, volume 1. And volume 2 is already on its way when it gets released. It's been pre-ordered. You know, what's the point in keeping your old comic collection in Mylar bags and stuff that you swear you're going to read at some point in time? And you never do.
The point is that it's valuable.
You know? I don't know. I was talking about this. I'm getting, like, I'm 52. And, like, Chris was digging through my collection there. There's, what, like, 16,000 comics in there? It's too much. It
took a long time to get through it.
It's too much. I don't have that many years left in my life to read every single book in my collection. I just don't. So
you got some good stuff in there, too.
I'm toying with the idea. Like, I went on a quest a few years ago to get all the Bronze Age books from Marvel that I didn't get as a kid and to read them. Black Panther, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. And I've done a pretty good job. I've gotten quite a few. I've completed quite a few of those Bronze Age series and stuff like this. I haven't read a single one. In the Mylar, in the bag, taped up, put away. And on my bookshelf here, I got, I don't know, 2 rows of epic collections of reprints. I can see my Luke Cage Volume 1 and Volume 2 trade paperbacks. There's a John Carter Warlord Omnibus. I was really happy because that was the first Bronze Age series I completed. There's the Omnibus sitting right there that I can just read. So what do I need all these comics for nowadays? You know? So I'm kind of toying with the idea of keeping my traditionally favorites, my Justice League of America, my Green Lantern, maybe brought, you know, first volume of Batman. Get rid of everything else. I got some holes in those runs, so I got 30 years left on this planet to fill those holes and eventually get a complete run of Justice League. But do I need a complete run of Ms. Marvel? She-Hulk? Marvel 2-in-1? Freedom Fighters from DC. I just finished my Freedom Fighters series. Now, it's a small series. It's not too many issues, but, you know, I had to order the last book I was missing from England. It's just kind of a little bit of a hamster wheel craziness. So I don't know. Today I was thinking, yeah, I could sell the whole thing. Except for, like I said, 1 or 2 runs that I want to keep and keep going. Wouldn't be the first time I pruned my collection down.
I've never done a complete prune like that. I mean, I pulled out books before, but I've been kind of looking at them and going, space is limited, right? And I've got, I don't know, my collection's around 15,000 books.
Yeah.
So it's filling up.
The last time I did a big sell-off was 2004, 2005. And I sold 10 long boxes of comics to Jeff's Cards and Comics for $500.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. 1 through whatever of New Mutants. There was a ton of X-Men in there. There's just a ton of books that I thought I didn't want anymore and stuff like this. And there's a New Mutants 98 in there for sure. Guaranteed. 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, that I got off the rack and stuff like this. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. Like, I'm paying $200 a month in storage locker fees. Though, how's my collection right now?
Yeah.
That's an omnibus and a half. I don't know. You know, hold on to my Captain Canuck original run. Maybe one of every issue. Even then, I'm not sure if I'd keep my Chapter House Captain Canucks, because they're, I got the trade paperbacks right there. They just pre-ordered, was it season 4 in hardcover? So if all the Captain Canucks come out in hardcover, put those on the library. And if I ever want to read them, I can grab them and read them. Yeah. You know, keep my original run of Captain Canucks that I have all in CGC. That'll be my collection per se. I don't know. It just makes more and more sense.
Yeah.
Marie Kondo'd that storage locker. Does this give me joy?
Yeah.
But it did give you joy, didn't it? Collecting that stuff?
I don't know, man.
Collecting it? Like the act of going out, searching, finding, completing that run. I know that gave you joy.
That's why I'm thinking that, but you know, I'm going to
be fleeting.
That's why I'm thinking I'm going to keep pounding away at my Silver Age Green Lanterns and my you know, yeah. I've got all the Bronze Age Justice Leagues. I've got a lot of Green Lanterns all the way up till the Neil Adams era. Not too many earlier than that. Same thing with Flash. You know, I've got all the Wally West Flashes, and I got, I don't know, about half the Barry Allen Flashes. So if I keep three or four series like that, that'll give me something to look for at Comic Cons. That'll give me something. But realistically, last time I went to the Comic Con, I bought one comic book to fill a hole, and the rest of it was new stuff from Artist Alley that I just wanted to read and support the younger creators.
Yeah, I like going to the Artist Alley. I was actually messaged Jason Liu the other day because he was, you know, cracking off that he was at Comic-Con. Yeah. And so I messaged him on that, and I was like, you know what? I missed going and chatting with you, you know, like, because that's what we do, right? We go and you hit wherever you want to go, and you hit Artist Alley. You'd hit a couple more spots. You come back to Artist Alley, and you're just standing around chatting with the guys all day long. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Like, I just had a chat on Facebook with, like, it was a post. So a lot of people were chiming in. It wasn't like a personal chat, but with Keith Grackow from Artist Alley that I've met a few times there. We're talking about TVs. You know, we're shooting the poop about streaming TVs and stuff. And it's a weird thing, because it's not quite like, I don't know if he'd lend me $50 if I asked. He might not be that kind of a friend. But if he's sitting there bored in front of his computer, I'm sitting there bored in front of my computer, we can strike up a conversation and you know, have some social time there and talk about TVs. Yeah. You know, I enjoy reading his books and stuff like this. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I completed that Freedom Fighters run, and I bought it, and I'm looking at the last two issues. I flipped to the front cover to see, make sure nobody signed the splash page, and I put it in Mylar, and I didn't even flip through the comic itself. I don't even know if all the pages are there. You know? So, I don't know.
But when they have a Freedom Fighters movie in 5 years, and those comics are worth $80 each, but you sold them for $1.
Then I'll pull a Dan, and I will look at them in the corner of my closet going, I should sell these, but not sell them.
I know.
Shots fired.
Shots fired.
Yeah, like Ice Cream Man.
Man has gone up.
It got hot. I flipped it for $125, $200, whatever I flipped it for. It's now $300-something. Hey, I got way more than I paid for the series. You know?
It's true, and I'm going to wait till it's worth $5, and I'll get the exact same amount I paid for it.
You know, exactly. Like, I read it. It was okay. It's definitely not Dark Knight Returns, or it's definitely not Frank Miller's run on Daredevil. But I must have three different trade paperback collections of different vintages of parts of, if not all of, Frank Miller's Daredevil run. Like, I was looking at the Justice League Omnibus for the Silver Age, and I'm like, wait a sec. I have, like, DC Archives. I bet you I already have those issues. Why would I get the Omnibus if I already got them in hardcover? So I guarantee you that there's some overlap in my collection here for sure, where I have the same stories over and over again. So I don't know. I was just in a thinking mood today. I'm just, you know, feeling my age, and maybe it's time to slow the heck down, and maybe I shouldn't have a bedroom full of Mego action figures. There must be 100. There's got to be 100 Mego figures.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's 50 pops. There's at least 50 pops.
Yeah.
I think that you're just a collector, though. You have a collector mentality.
Yeah, well, I know that.
So what'll happen, though, is you're going to sell all your comics off and then be like, oh, it's empty in here. I need to fill this with something.
Yeah, but I recognize that. Like I said, I'll keep a few series that I don't have finished. Like, I have a pretty decent amount of Uncanny X-Men. Maybe I'll hold on to my X-Men and keep plowing away at trying to fill that series, you know? I got a few holes at the top end at some of the 300 issues. Excuse me. And then a whole bunch of holes at the bottom end. And of course, the holy grail of, you know, X-Men number one that I don't have. I have a ton of Iron Man. I think I'm missing 5 issues of Iron Man. I have number one, but I don't have number 55. So, you know, do I spend $1,000 getting Iron Man 55, or do I spend $1,000 getting dinky series like Star Hunter and John Carter and Freedom Fighter and Miss Marvel and, you know.
Spend $1,000 on something else and not do either of those things.
Yeah, exactly. Like a down payment on a house or, you know, retirement money. Something. I think the hamster wheel, I'm a little tired of the hamster wheel. And I've done it a few times that I know I don't want to sell everything. Mm-hmm. And then be, you know, wistful about it. Keep some stuff that is near and dear to me, and the rest of it's like there's, it's in the CLZ that I sent you the link to. There's over 700 hardcovers, trade paperbacks, and omnibuses in that collection. 700 yeah. Trade paperbacks.
Just a couple.
Granted, 200 of them are from Dollarama over the last year. But like
over
I'm looking
the last
at
month.
Like even today, you know, you remember those Star Trek hardcovers that they had from Eagle Moss at Dollarama for $3 each or $4 each, whatever it was?
Yeah, I got a bunch.
Yeah, I have the Marvel Years Volume 1 and Volume 2, so it was the Marvel Star Trek series. Well, somebody on the interwebs pointed me to the Eagle Moss website in England and said, you know, you can just buy Volume 3 if you want for $40 or $30, whatever it was with shipping. And I'm like, well, shit, that way I have all the Marvel Star Trek comics. So I did that, and I bought that, and it showed up today. So I have all the Marvel Star Trek comics in hardcover. I got all the Marvel Star Wars comics in Epic Collection. So why am I paying $15 a copy trying to fill that run? When it's hot right now, why don't I try filling that run when they're 50 cents each in 10 years? If they ever drop to that, you know, in 2005, Star Wars was nothing. You could get those issues for $4 or $5 each, you know, and then the Star Wars movies come and fire things up. So I don't know, you know, maybe I'll keep my Canadian whites, but get rid of my new 52. Who knows? We'll see how it goes. Maybe they're not worth anything and no comic shop will buy them.
I think you'd do better if you sold it all on eBay or something rather than to a comic shop, right?
Well, there is some benefit to selling the entire collection at a bulk rate and just getting it done. And then, like you said, the thing with eBay is, I mean, you're losing eBay fee and PayPal fee and shipping and all that stuff. It's cost money, right? So you're not getting as much, but yeah, the key stuff, I don't know. Maybe like, am I going to get as much for Iron Man number one from Heritage Auction or from, and have to pay for all the seller fees and all that stuff, or sell it to a comic book dealer for 63% of fair market value? Am I going to spend $40 selling this stuff? 40% selling this stuff? Don't know. Like I said, like an idiot, I let go of 10 short boxes for $500. So what do I know? Anyways, that's enough. You guys don't need to hear me whine anymore. What else is new and exciting is out there? Anybody read anything?
I did, actually. I actually was finally had some time, and so I sat down and I was like, you know what? I'm going to read stuff. So I finally read Dodge, the book that you gave me for my birthday.
Right on.
So I read the first one, and then number two just showed up yesterday. I got the G.I. Joe cover. My wife thought it was pretty cool looking. And then I told her it was a werebear, and she's like, you're on crack.
That's awesome. I haven't read issue two yet because it showed up a couple of days ago as well. But it was a fun book.
Yeah, I haven't told Mike I've got it yet, but he told me it was on the way. So I got to let him know that I got it. And I finished the series called Heavy. I don't know if you read that one or not.
No.
It's about a guy who he kills himself, and he ends up being like sort of like a punisher for heaven. And so he goes around and stop people from making changes to history. So it's kind of like Time Cop meets like Terminator. It's kind of a cool thing. So I read that. That was pretty good.
Right.
I got caught up on Wolverine, Black, White, and Blood. Did you read that one?
No, I missed that one as well.
Yeah, I thought that one was pretty good. It's a pretty good story. Yeah.
I picked up Aliens.
I read the Mace. Oh, did you?
Sorry, go ahead. I think we're suffering a little bit of lag here. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. My phone, or I think my internet's crappy. I got two kids playing Fortnite at the same time I'm trying to do this. So, so I read the Maestro books, or Maestro books, depending on how you want to pronounce it. Which actually, it's really cool because the guys that did it the first time are back doing it, and from Future Imperfect. And it's like how the Hulk becomes Maestro. And so I read the whole first series because, you know, I had a big pile. And then the second series, War and Pax, it just came out. So I think it's on the third issue or something, third or fourth issue. So I've kind of, I'm one issue behind on that one now. But so I plowed through that. That was actually pretty good. It was kind of like seeing the mental breakdown of Bruce Banner. It was kind of good.
Yeah, I really liked.
So that was.
I can't remember where Maestro was introduced. Was he introduced in Old Man Logan, or was he before?
No, that was Future Imperfect.
Yeah,
it was like a two issue series by. I keep wanting to call him Keith David, and it's not. That's the voice. He's the actor, but what the heck is his name? Oh, I'm so bad with names. It's ridiculous.
I would laugh if it was David Keith.
It might be.
Yeah. No, Sam Keith. Oh. Is it Sam? Sam Keith? Guy used to do Image.
No, that doesn't sound right.
It has nothing to do with Keith.
Sorry, I'm just hitting the old.
Yeah, no problem. Because I remember I really dug Old Man Logan. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was good. And then
I like Old Man Logan too. Yeah,
like I used to read Hulk a lot. Like I read the Todd McFarlane Hulks when they came out. I read like I'm not a total non Marvel guy. I've read lots and lots of Marvel, ton of X-Men. But I remember. I'm trying to remember who started drawing.
Peter David.
Well, surprisingly, he's the one that did most of the Hulk run that I read. When Hulk was gray, Mr. Fix-It.
Yep.
Yeah.
Joe and Fix-It, Dale was that Keon, what they called him?
The art.
Yeah, that was fun.
But yeah, I didn't read any.
I liked Mr. Fix-It, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't read any comics, but I watched a Marvel movie. I finally watched Avengers Endgame for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, for the first time?
For the first time. And man, as I was watching it, I was like, why haven't you watched this? This is so good. Like, it was great. And it's just, you know, I had just never watched it.
Yeah.
And I also haven't seen like Black Panther, Miss Marvel, or Captain Marvel. I haven't seen Civil War either.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go back and watch a few more.
I kind of watched.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I kind of went on a binge there trying to catch up on some of them through Disney Plus and stuff. So
yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah, I watched it because I wanted to see what happened before I started watching the Falcon and Winter Soldier TV show.
Which so, I dug. I really liked the first episode. That was fun.
I thought the first episode was pretty good. But I mean, I liked WandaVision a lot better, though.
Yeah, so WandaVision far. Was fun. But again, you know, like everybody kind of, the first episode of WandaVision, sure, you know, Winter Soldier is starting off a lot differently than Wanda did. But, you know, anybody who watched the whole Wanda thing, chances are they whined a little bit about episode one. And now it's like, oh, okay, I see where they went with this. All right, I get it. Now that I see the whole thing, I get it. So I think the same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier, right? Like, I think once the whole thing comes out, I mean, we're just getting spoiled. We're getting spoiled with this Marvel Absolutely. Stream.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I love it. And I've been watching that Superman and Lois. That's been really good. I'm surprised at how good that is.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I've really enjoyed that as well. So I kind of stayed away from some of the other ones. Like Flash kind of just didn't do it for me the last couple of seasons. And I heard things are a little bit better, but it's still not my favorite show. So I watched the first episode of the season and was like, no, you know, WandaVision's better than this. And Falcon Winter Soldier is better than this. And Lois and Superman is better than this. I don't want to watch this. Same thing with Batwoman. I don't know. I watched the first few episodes of the first season, watched the first few episodes of the second season, and it's just like, nah. Not for me.
I guess the thing about the Falcon and Winter Soldier for me is that it seems just way more straightforward than the whatchamacallit, than WandaVision, which is why, you know, it's not quite as exciting. So I'm wondering what they'll throw in there to keep us on our toes.
Well, what's his name? Baron Zemo. Baron Zemo's coming. We've already seen him in trailers and stuff.
I haven't seen any trailers or anything.
He's going to be wearing the purple mask this time instead of just being the Baron like he was in Winter Soldier, in Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah. I know everybody is pushing that, like the comic where Sam becomes Captain America is becoming popular again. But based on the first episode, I think story-wise, it would make more sense for the Winter Soldier to become Captain America because his redemption arc would be way more satisfying.
Yeah, I think that seems to be, to me anyways, that seems to be where it's heading. Is, you know, Bucky's the 100-year-old guy and all this stuff, and you know, Sam didn't want to take up the shield himself because he thought it was too much legacy, but I could see them teaming up and eventually, you know, Bucky taking the shield.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'd be fine with either of them taking up the shield. Like, it's great actors, great characters. I'm digging it.
Yeah.
I'm digging
it. And the first episode was really good. And yeah, I'm looking forward to Fridays every week now.
So do you get a check from Tony Stark, or how does that work?
That was awesome. Right. Yeah.
That's fantastic. And
also, like, that was a great moment too, because it's never talked about in comics and the movies about like superheroes having to pay their bills, you know.
It was in,
let's pull out your omnibus,
Justice League International. We talked about it. Booster Gold getting a paycheck and stuff. That was a little bit of a thing in there, and how Maxwell Lord used to pay them a fee and stuff like this. So.
Of course, Booster Gold needs a paycheck.
Yeah, Booster Gold was all about the money. He was all about the money.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, I saw some of the new stuff that DC was releasing, and some of it looked interesting. Some of it didn't. I'm looking at some of the Marvel stuff. Some of it looks interesting. Some of it doesn't. Same thing with all the publishers. I mean, it's just, I don't know where I'm just not excited about anything at the moment. Is that COVID, what do we call it? Not empathy, not entropy. Are we just, burnt out?
Probably.
Are we just burnt out? I mean, I'm excited to read my Alien number one that came in today. Haven't read it yet, but is it going to be good enough to continue as a series? I don't know. I got all excited that Predator got announced, and then it's like,
right, wait with a Jim Sub.
But wait a sec. There's been some bad Predator TV shows, bad Predator movies. So is it going to capture, you know, the essence of the original movie, and is it going to be good, or is it going to be, you know, Predator 2? You know, or Predators. Jim, I mean, he's a great writer, so there's some, you know, positive hype, so to speak, you know. At least it's in good hands. And I didn't see who was doing the art, though. Can't remember who was doing the art. So it should be good. It should be fun. I don't know.
I mean, I'm currently not getting any comics pulled except for The Last Ronin.
Okay.
So
I'm waiting for the trade paperback for that. I really dug the first issue, but it just lost so much momentum for me. I'm just a binger. I'm binging Hill Street Blues right now, for Pete's sakes. You know, the cheesy 80s cop show. So, you know, and I'm holding this flipping, I have enough omnibuses here on my desk that I'm surprised my desk is holding it up. It's a sit stand desk. I want to see if the motor can actually lift it with all these omnibuses on it, or is it gonna like start smoking? I just don't know. Like, when was the last time anybody was like super excited to go to the comic shop, or did it just seem like routine to pick up your stuff because of it's a commitment because you pre-ordered the stuff?
I haven't even been in a year.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I think I have one of your comics. What do I have? Oh, Batman.
Batman.
Found that Batman 96 for you. That was at J&B Books in downtown Trenton. He was my comic shop in 1989 when I was posted to the base. That was fun.
And he's still here.
Still there. Still selling baseball cards, used books, and comics. I don't know. Seems like this radio show turns into a lot of whining lately. We need some good positive vibes, some good news.
Good news? Did anybody catch the Snyder Cut?
Yes! Yes!
Or did you talk about that when my computer crashed?
No, we didn't. We got 6 minutes left to just gush about the Snyder Cut. It was awesome. I loved it. I did. I thought there was too much hype about this Snyder Cut, and I always thought Snyder was too much, you know, dark and broody. But wow, the extra 4 hours and how they could flesh out everything, and I liked it. I mean, it wasn't perfect. There's a couple of glitches. There's a couple of holes. And you can see how it was going to lead into other movies, and, you know, they set up a few things. Like, how did Aquaman get his armor and the staff, when the whole point of the Aquaman movie was him to go and get the armor and the staff? You know, was this somebody else's staff? I think it was, wasn't it? I just realized they specifically said that was his mom's staff in the Snyder Cut.
Yeah, it was his mom's staff. Yeah.
Oh, man. I feel stupid now.
Yeah.
And it was Atlan's staff in the movie.
And then after watching like the Aquaman movie, it just kind of always made it sound like she left it at the house when she left.
Yeah.
You know, like when,
just sat there for his dad to like roast marshmallows with. I liked it. I dug it. Did you watch it, Dan?
I have not. I have no way of watching it.
Oh, that's not true. There's lots of streaming services. I have
no legal way of watching it.
I should give you my IP address for Plex server.
4 hours to watch it.
Oh, I liked it. I did. But honestly, like if they cut it down to a 2-hour movie, maybe it wouldn't be so good. You know, there was a lot of stuff there that was definitely more coherent in tone than the other one. You could definitely see after watching both. And I said this about the original Justice League. You could kind of see what parts were Joss's and what parts were the Snyder guy. What's his? Zach.
Zach.
Was Zach's, like, you could kind of see a different tone. One thing I did notice right away was there was, like, you know, because the Wonder Woman movie was done really tastefully and stuff like this, and she was still sexy as heck, but there wasn't a lot of gratuitous butt shots and stuff like this. Like, she's climbing up the ladder out of the trench, and sure, you know, you see a bit of thigh in her boot and stuff, but it was more heroic than it was, you know, exploitive. And the one thing I did notice was when she's wearing those brown leather pants, there was like a very, very pronounced, gratuitous butt shot of her great bum in those leather pants climbing down a ladder or something like that in the hangar or whatever. That shot was missing from the Snyder cut. She was there and she had her leather outfit and stuff, but they didn't show, you know, such a, I don't know, I don't want to call it sexist, but it was a little bit more than it needed to be, you know? The Amazons in the Wonder Woman movie looked like they were Amazons with armor. And then in the first version of the Justice League, they looked like, you know, bikini beer girls with a little bit of armor plating ever so slightly, barely covering stuff up. So I don't know whether that was on purpose or not, or two different viewpoints, you know, maybe a female filmmaker in Patty Jenkins doing Wonder Woman and then Josh Whedon doing Justice League, thinking that we need a little bit of that. I don't know. But I did notice that was missing. I mean, Cyborg storyline, so much more fleshed out, you know, so much more backstory to all the
characters. Even the Flash wasn't as annoying.
Yeah, even the Flash. That whole brunch nonsense was gone. I don't know.
It kind of made me wish I'd watched the short cut before we all watched the long one to see what the real differences were, but it tended to flow a lot better. And it wasn't like, what's going on? Why does this makes absolutely no sense. So it even though it was 4 hours, it really made more sense. And it was actually a much better movie.
Like, that's why I kind of wonder what it would be like if it had to be edited down to the same runtime. You know, what would they cut out of it that we kind of got? Like, would it lose its flair and its coolness if it wasn't a 4-hour epic? Then, like, can you imagine trying to hack the 3 Lord of the Rings movies into a 90-minute film?
Well, but the thing now is that they could just make it into a miniseries. Now that Marvel TV shows have shown how great you can make TV shows, you know, they can just make a miniseries that is this amazing and that has this, maybe not quite this budget, but, you know, like, the Marvel shows have a high budget. They put everything into it.
Oh, yeah, like the Winter Soldier and WandaVision and some of this. None of them. Okay, WandaVision had a lot of interior shots because it was intentionally trying to look like TV, right? But the rest of it, it was cinematic budget. Same thing with Winter Soldier. It looked great. It looked like a movie. It didn't look like a copy of Hill Street Blues.
And also, like, they had Paul Bettany in it, and you know, he's not a cheap actor, I'm assuming. He's a pretty big actor from movies doing a TV show, you know?
Well, I'm kind of wondering about that. Like, I feel like these actors have some contracts, right? And the whole Disney Plus came about, and it's like, okay, you know, I know we signed you up for 3 movies, and you've done 2. Instead of doing a 3rd movie, what do you think about this, you know, X number of hour miniseries instead, you know, and turned it into this streaming thing. I don't know, DC boy here has to admit that Marvel, when it comes to TV and movies, firing on all cylinders. It's great stuff. Did anyone see Hellstrom yet? There was a couple of TV shows that now are on Disney Plus that used to be Hulu. Runaways is one that I saw on Disney Plus that isn't Marvel cinematic per se.
Cloak and Dagger,
that's the other one. And this Hellstrom, which is supposed to be, I don't know if you remember the Hellstrom guy. I know so little about him. But that's a Marvel TV show. Yeah, Damian Hellstrom. I'm trying to remember, like, he had something with Patsy Walker, didn't he, or something? Or he was in Defenders. I can't remember. Because Defenders, another Bronze Age series that I got from Marvel that I didn't read, sitting in Mylar, in my storage locker, getting dusty. So, yeah, I mean, it's good stuff. Like, we're just absolutely spoiled that we're going to get excellent caliber television like this every week for the next year.
Because right after Winter Soldier finishes, Loki starts, right?
Loki starts, and I think right after that, What If starts.
I'm excited for What If.
It'll be fun.
I loved reading those comics as a kid, so I'm excited to see this one.
What I really hope is that each What If, also, since it's like a different character and a different spin on some, I'm hoping the animation style is different too.
Yeah, so it's just completely different.
Yeah, like your Edge of the Spider-Verse that we were talking about last yep. time. You know, how each issue had a different art theme as well as a different character theme. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a hoot. So, yeah, I'm super positive. I'm not very positive about the comic book market and how that's all going and what we're doing. Super positive about the cinematic and the anime and the stuff. Black Widow got a release date. Sure, it's a little yep. bit later than everybody thought, but it's coming.
And that's coming to Disney, right? Like, is that what they said?
Yeah, it's going to come to theaters, simultaneously released to Disney Plus as a premium that you got to pay extra.
Yeah.
And then once the theater run is done, then it's going to be just part of Disney Plus. But let's not lie here. We're going to pay it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to show Disney that we're willing to pay $30 to see this thing right away. And that's still cheaper than taking the fam to the movie theaters.
Definitely.
You know, you can cook up some nacho chips and some popcorn at home a lot cheaper than you can at the movie theaters. Although the movie theater experience is great. Don't get me wrong. You know, such great memories and stuff like this. Anyways, lads, I think we've done our absolute best at trying to stretch 5 minutes of content into an hour. So we'll try again next week. As always, listen to us on heykidscomics.ca or whatever podcasting service. Dan, pitch your podcast.
Which one?
All of them. Let it rip. Where can we find them?
Well, I do another comic podcast as a part of Adam's kind of garbage podcast, but I'm not sure where you can find that because I just guest vocalize on it. So a kind of garbage somewhere.
What we're going to have to call that.
Usually in the trash can, I guess you find garbage.
Yeah, we're going to have to call that Adam's the Trashy Podcast Network or something like this.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that's it. Enjoy, have fun. See you next week.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like the Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
Can you do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.